these precious people to serve others. And that's the greatest commandment, to love one another as you have loved us. So thank you for the privilege of praying for these people. And Lord, I know that you're here, and I know that you will bless them, because your heart is so compassionate for those with disabilities. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. And Pastor Ron's daughter, Gracie, is here. She's 7, and his wife, Michelle. And Gracie came up and met my guide dog, Carly. So, now we have the national anthem. Is Valerie in the room?
Yes.
Ah, we have Valerie Salcido, and rumor has it that you are former Miss Fresno County. Is that true?
I don't know who told you that. I assume it was Senor.
So thank you, Valerie.
Thank you.
Oh, say can you see? Dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets regaled, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Thank you.
And now stand, if you are able, for the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Jamie Gibson Barrows and Jonathan Finley from Fresno Chapter. And if you could say where you are so we know where our hearts should be pointing, Jamie.
Right here.
Okay.
Right here.
Yep. Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now, a few minutes ago, when I was sitting up here by myself and they were taping down the cords for all the microphones and so forth, who should come into the room but Mayor Lee Brand? And his press secretary with a wonderful proclamation for us, but they had to go off to a press conference that was being held at 1:30 and apologize that that had come up and that they couldn't be with us this afternoon. But the mayor left us with a proclamation that Shannon Mulhall, who's going to be our speaker later this afternoon, and she's in the, you're in the county office, right? Is that?
The city of Fresno.
The city of Fresno. So she's going to now describe and read the proclamation.
All right. Do I have a microphone I can
use? You can use this one.
Well, it is an honor to be here. I know that the California Council of the Blind, especially our local chapter, has partnered with the city for many, many years. The things that we've got going on in the city right now, we wouldn't be able to do without you. So first and foremost, thank you. Thank you for the many years of contribution. I really think that our CCB chapter keeps us honest. And really, you're the best at checking us when we need to be checked. So please keep doing that and keep being part of that. And I do want to give you a fun fact. Does anyone know CCB member Mary Beth Randall?
Yes.
She's currently the chair of our Disability Advisory Commission.
Yes.
And she has been the longest running member of this commission and the commission that came before that. So if you see Mary Beth, tell her thank you for her service. She's done a tremendous amount of work over the years. And of course, I have Sarah Harris, who sits on our Disability Advisory Commission Transportation Subcommittee. And so thank you again to Sarah as well for her contributions. And again, we wouldn't be able to do much in the city without you. And keep your voices strong, even when it's saying things that we don't want to hear. Because we need to hear it, right?
I never do that.
So I'm going to go ahead and read this proclamation. California Council for the Blind 85th Anniversary. Whereas the California Council of the Blind's vision is that culture, laws, programs, and attitudes throughout California are inclusive of all people, especially persons who are blind or visually impaired. And whereas the California Council of the Blind's mission is to increase the independence, security, equality of opportunity, and quality of life for all Californians who are blind and visually impaired. And whereas the California Council of the Blind has been a longtime partner of the City of Fresno, actively engaging with the Disability Advisory Commission and the preceding ADA Advisory Committee, advising the city on matters affecting people who are blind or visually impaired. And whereas the City of Fresno values and honors the contributions of the California Council of the Blind in citywide outreach and planning to ensure that citizens who are blind or visually impaired have equal access to civic life. And whereas the California Council of the Blind is celebrating its 85th anniversary, now, therefore, be it resolved that Mayor Lee Brand and members of the Fresno City Council do hereby join in honoring the California Council of the Blind and congratulating them for 85 years of meaningful service, and do further proclaim June 7th, 2019 to be California Council of the Blind Day in the City of Fresno.
And we will definitely portray that prominently. Just leave for now. Just yeah. Just don't throw it in the wastebasket, Shannon.
Shh, don't tell.
Frank Welty, are you in the room? Could you make your way up to the front table, please, while I read off the names of our primary sponsors? We're going to thank them several times, and this being the very first. Our old friends Vanda Pharmaceuticals at the investor level. These investor level sponsors are $5,000. Cruise Automations. They're a sustainer. Energy Upgrade California is one of our. Wait a minute. Let me just get to my list. Yeah. First glitch. Yes, okay, that's where we had, okay, now, I got to the, I have the sponsors in several places. So yes, Vanda was at an investor level, 5,000, and so is Energy Upgrade California investor level, and Cruise Automations is at the sustainer level, that is a $3,000 contribution. Sprint Communications, a sustainer level, and Rosen, Bean, Galvin, and Grunfeld, LLP, at the contributor level, which is $1,000. And we also want to thank ERA for making the DoubleTree Hotel an ERA-free zone so that you can use your ERA in the hotel. And if you don't subscribe, you can use it as a guest. So we thank those sponsors. And, Frank, I'm going to now turn the microphone over to you if we can find you one. I'll move aside and let you have this one for the nominations committee's report. Let me get up and stand out of your way, Frank, and you sit in my chair.
There you go. No pressure, Frank. No pressure.
Well, he's going to be reading it, so it'll be easier to have a mic there.
Last night, the CCB nominating committee had our meeting, and I commend the members of the committee for arriving promptly and for being very well organized and behaved. We flew through our business last night, and I appreciate that very much. The nominating committee has chosen the following slate of officers and directors to be nominated at this year's convention for office. For the office of second vice president, we nominated Sarah Harris. For the office of secretary, we nominated Linda Perrell. And for the five board positions open this time, Christy Crespin, Pamela Metz, Penny Valdovinos, Steve Bauer, and Nellie Emerson. Thank you, Madam President.
We'll dance here. You know, we're expecting these members of the staff of the hotel in the room momentarily, or even in a minute. So in the meantime, though, we could have a door prize. How about that? So, Lisa, do we have the door prizes and some names and things?
I do.
So tell us about a prize, and then let's have a drawing.
So let's start off with a $25 cash prize from the Bayview chapter. And the winner is Gavin Smiley. Gavin, are you in the room? If you could raise your hand, we'll have somebody come bring you that prize.
Wow, got it in one.
Wow. Well,
the $25 cash from Bayview.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
I'm hesitant to start my speech, but I probably should just do that.
Well, did you tell him 2 o'clock?
Yeah, I told him 2.
It's 10 till now.
I know.
How long's your speech?
It's a little longer than that, but I think I'll just go ahead and do that.
What would it screw you up to stop in the middle if they were to...
Is Leslie McNeil in the room by any chance? Or Henry Greenwich? They're not yet.
He's been told that the guy from Cruise needs to leave, so he won't be able to speak.
Is he here?
Is he here now?
Yeah, bring him in right now.
He just left.
Oh. Dang, we could have.
Yeah. Is he, you sure, can you catch him? Okay. Okay, we are going to be running somewhat ahead of schedule, and let's do another door prize. What a good idea.
Do you want me to try calling Amy?
Yeah. See if they can come in ASAP.
So, the second door prize is a arrangement of Mary Beth's World of Scents. It includes a bathroom cleaner, scent circles, kitchen soap, donated by Mary Beth Randall. And the winner is Denise Weddle.
Weddle.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Denise, are you here? Raise your hand. We'll have somebody bring it out to you.
Yay, all right.
Woo!
We're just informed that our we were going to have a presentation from the Cruise Automation folks, because they're allowed time for being a sponsor, and the gentleman had to leave. So we're going to move right along this afternoon. We might we'll finish on time at the latest.
But I'm bummed.
I'm going to go ahead and...
She didn't answer her phone.
Okay. So... Hang on, folks. Let me just look at a note here. Okay. I'm going to give... we're waiting for the hotel staff to come into the room. We usually do this on Sunday, but often on Sunday... Most of the major hotel stuff that we've been dealing with are you know not here on the weekends. So we thought this time we would do it today. But so we're waiting, frankly, for the hotel people to get here. We're a little early, and I have my presentation. I'm reluctant to start it, make them wait then 15 minutes. Well, we have 28 for the weekend. So let's do another one. We can do one more because we won't take time then to do any at the end.
Okay, so let's do Ghirardelli chocolate with a pack of bump dots donated by the Redwood Empire chapter.
Yeah.
And the winner is Eugene Lozano.
All right,
Gene. Gene, can you raise your hand?
And Gene doesn't have a sweet tooth or anything.
I know. Gene, you better go to the dentist.
No, Gene, you better come to Resolution.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, they're on their way. They're on their way. Who's that said that? Chris, okay, good.
On an open seat, and one day one of the crew members says, "Captain, I see a ship on the horizon." And the captain says, "Prepare for battle." And so they give him his red shirt, they meet up with the other ship, they fight, they battle, they win. And the captain says, "Okay, get ready for battle, bring me my red shirt." And so they bring him his red shirt, get ready for battle, and they fight. It was an intense battle, but they win again. And everyone's celebrating, having a good time. And the co-captain says, "Hey, Captain, I got to ask, how come every time we're about to get into battle, you ask for your red shirt. And he says, well, it's so that if I get hurt, shot, stabbed, they can't see my blood, so the men will keep fighting. He said, oh, that's pretty smart. And so right about that time, one of the crew members says, Captain, three ships on the horizon. And he says, okay, get ready for battle and bring me my brown pants.
And who's here in the hotel? Okay. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff, I'm going to have you say, in a sense, what I said, but I'm going to turn the hotel staff, our wonderful representatives from the heads of the teams at the hotel, are in the room with us. So, Jeff, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay. Oh, man. Whoa. Boy, am I on. Okay, so just as a preface, since the beginning of our work with the DoubleTree in Fresno, Judy and I and others who have been involved, too numerous to mention, have had an incredibly warm and wonderful relationship with this hotel, and I'm sure you out there have experienced the same thing. So, yes. So the Resolutions Committee presents to you Resolution 2019-6, Management and Staff Appreciation. Whereas the management and staff of the DoubleTree by Hilton Fresno Convention Center have, from the outset of our relationship with them, been warm and welcoming to the California Council of the Blind. And whereas their outstanding responsiveness to the needs of the organization and convention attendees has been truly exemplary. And whereas the hotel management and staff have set a high standard for future convention venues, now therefore be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled this 7th day of June 2019 at the DoubleTree by Hilton Fresno Convention Center in the city of Fresno, California, that this organization thank and commend the staff and management of the DoubleTree by Hilton Fresno Convention Center for their superior efforts in hosting the 2019 California Council of the Blind Conference and Convention, and the committee recommends a do pass. Yay!
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And if Christy could come up and just say a word or two, we'll get all of these, we'll put them up in nice, pretty format and get them to you in a formal way. But we wanted you to hear this during the weekdays because we so often do this on Sunday and nobody's here.
Hi, you guys. My name is Christy Peterson. I'm the sales manager here at the hotel. And I just want to say thank you to you guys. It was a pleasure having you and being able to host you guys. You guys have been amazing. And we just truly appreciate you guys. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, we are right on schedule. The famous actress Betty Davis said it best, getting old isn't for sissies. I'd like to suggest the same could be said for organizations. CCB was born October 6, 1934. Where?
Fresno.
Yes, right here in Fresno. The childhood years saw growth and expansion. We fought for the most basic rights, the right to walk on public streets and sidewalks, the White Cane Law. Rights for college students to have readers, fair housing, and basic voting rights. A lot more growth occurred during our middle years. At one time, we had nearly 1,500 members and numerous chapters. Our advocacy and scholarship efforts blossomed. We had over $1 million in the bank. Alas, our elder years have seen increasing financial hardships. When I assumed the presidency, we had about $250,000 in unencumbered funds. Based on a recommendation in our original strategic plan, Just weeks after I assumed office, we hired a CEO who, among other things, we hoped would bring in major funding. In a word, that didn't happen. Since I last reported to you at our 2018 conference convention, our financial situation has further deteriorated. For starters, our financial records were in disarray, so we literally didn't know how much money we had. Next, we embarked on a desperate, risky effort and hired a consulting firm to create a mechanism to contact large donors in the Sacramento area. We finally canceled both the lunch where those donors would hopefully show up and then the contract for the consultants. And at the end of last year, we released our CEO. Frankly, financially speaking, we hit bottom with only a few thousand dollars remaining. But remember, CCB ain't no sissy. We are on the road to recovery. Starting her term on July 1, our fabulous treasurer, Lisa Thomas, with her strong accounting background, has been wrestling with our tangled financial records. She and Nicole are updating our QuickBooks system where records need to be reconciled for the past 2 to 3 years. We have already saved hundreds in accounting costs because Lisa prepares our monthly and quarterly financial documents, all legally, of course. We are planning for an audit this year at a cost far below the $10,000 we used to spend. Just last night, the board adopted a massively trimmed down budget. Where we routinely had a budget of around $300,000 with exaggerated calculations for income and distorted numbers for expenditures, this year's budget scales back spending. As the saying goes, we are pinching those pennies so hard you can hear them scream. We have projected relatively little in terms of fundraising efforts. That way, we should bring in more than we, in fact, plan for. Last November, I proposed forming a committee to advise us on how CCB can move forward. Our first vice president, Gabe, christened it the name which has stuck, the Phoenix Committee. As, like that mythical bird, we rise from the ashes. A kind of think tank, this committee has proved amazingly valuable to me personally and, of course, to the entire organization. Thanks to those 9 members, we have created a resource manual so members can answer phones, relieving Nicole of that burden. We began this on May 1, and while Nicole was on vacation, Steve Bauer, Andrew DeKlotz, and Christy Crespin answered those phones, and we will expand this plan in the future. They have made many other recommendations, all of which I won't go into here. Though this year's convention may be in the black, the board has agreed to holding a one-day convention at several linked locations, potentially allowing far more members to actually attend. We will discuss this further this evening, and of course down the line. Other cost-cutting measures have been adopted, such as seeking an entity to sublease part of our office. Only our official legislative advocates are reimbursed for their costs if they so request, which they often do not. This year, I am taking no reimbursement for my expenses. For the first time, we sent out an appeal letter to our extended mailing list and raised several thousand dollars. We will expand this effort as well as pursuing other fundraising efforts, including our telephonic auction held later this fall. For the past 2 years, we have been in discussion with Patrick Netter, founder of On the Move, creator of the mini-seated treadmill. We are on track to be their North American distributor of this device to the blindness community. I'm pleased to announce that Patrick will be here tomorrow with the latest model, so look for him in the Abby Schumann Exhibit Hall. One of Paul Shane's final efforts paid off in the form of a grant from Energy Upgrade California to inform folks about the Time of Use program. You will be hearing tomorrow from our recently hired community educator, James Collin, the replacement for Dwayne Poole, who left us at the end of April. Welcome, James. Yes. This grant helps defray some of our overhead costs for this year. We may not have a lot of money in the bank, but we are rich in people to thank. The danger here is leaving too many people out, for which I apologize in advance. First, our amazing host committee, our Fresno chapter. Under the leadership of that crazy blind lady, Sarah Harris. Your hardworking board of directors devotes hours to CCB, giving of their time, talent, and treasure. Nicole Pacheco is increasingly valuable as our operations manager. Thanks so much, Nicole. And I know she's out there and she can't hear us, but definitely. A special shout out to our technical operation group, our TOG, for all its work, especially to Phil Obregon for his heroic efforts in the speedily getting all things convention on our website. All our committees work hard for CCB. All of our committees work hard for CCB. We are rich because of your efforts. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank my husband, Steve, for his love and support. No, getting old isn't for sissies. CCB, in its old age, because of the adversities we've faced, will emerge stronger than ever. As Sarah Harris quoted Robert Shuler in her candidate statement, problems are not stop signs. They are guidelines. So here we are at 85, old but not enfeebled. As we stabilize our finances and renew our organization, we are recommitting ourselves with vigor and purpose to those efforts that have always been the hallmark of our existence: advocacy in the legislature and the courts, service to our members in identifying and overcoming the barriers to equality and full participation in society. These have always been the core CCB values. These are the reasons we exist, and these are the reasons why, like the Phoenix, we are rising again. Thank you. Okay. Is Leslie McNeil in the room? She's probably coming up any minute. And we know that Henry Greenidge is not here. Mike Nunez, are you in the room? Ah. We're just moving. I think we're just moved.
It's just you here.
Well, no, that virtual convention is next year. That's not. You know what? Our fabulous motivational speaker is here. We're going to ask her to go ahead. And Shannon Mulhall is, let me get to where I'm supposed to find you, Shannon. Your district, I lost my place. I hate this. ADA coordinator for the city of Fresno. And she is going to talk to us about our roots and, you know, all those things. So.
That is the best introduction I have ever received. Thank you, Judy. It is amazing to be here. This is my first time at a CCB convention. Thank you.
Welcome.
So Sarah and Lisa, they pulled me aside and they said, can you come talk to us about all these things? And I said, there's no way I can do that in this short amount of time, but I'm going to try. Okay. I'm going to try to talk about how to honor roots and foster growth, how to
that
nurture.
Was it.
Got it? I got you, Judy. I got your back.
Yeah, like she said.
How to honor roots and foster growth, nurturing your relationships, re-energizing your grassroots advocacy, and thriving as an organization in 30 minutes or less. Money back guarantee. I'm happy to volunteer my time. No, but truthfully, it's good to be here. One of the things I was thinking about as I was thinking about our community is the stories that we tell. The stories that we tell about who we are as individuals, the organizations we represent, and our part within the community, right? Now, I come from a long history of storytellers, both the Girl Scout round the campfire kind and the BSing New York hustling kind. So, again, my local community, I'm so sorry. Actually, can I share with you, just yesterday I was at my son's kindergarten award ceremony, and he got the Whoppers Award. Because Flynn always knows how to tell a good story. There is nothing better than a six-year-old who walks up to you and says, now have I ever told you the time? You're 6 years old, buddy. Tell, what have I missed in your life? But there it is. You know, it's the power of a story of how do we captivate the people in our sphere of influence with our story. How do we capture people with our story? And the question I have for you is, what is the story that you tell about the California Council of the Blind? What is the story that you tell about the California Council of the Blind? Now, I've been within the local community of disability advocacy for probably about 15 years, give or take, and I know CCB. I've met millions of folks from CCB. You know, you go around the table every time you go to one of those advocacy meetings. I'm so-and-so, I represent such-and-such, I'm so-and-so, I represent such-and-such. Pretty soon it's acronym, you know, alphabet soup, right? Right, absolutely. So of course I've known CCB for many, many years. But it wasn't until, Sarah, can I pick on you?
Sure.
All right. So it was.
Everybody else does
it. It wasn't until this crazy blind lady, she pulled me aside and she said, do you know what we do? I have to admit, I thought you were a social group. Shame on me. Shame on me. I know. Go ahead, boo. That's not what CCB is about. And she went into a litany, sharing with me your rich culture and your heritage, talking about your advocacy, your education, your statewide, your nationwide efforts. And I thought, whoa, I don't know CCB. I don't know the California Council of the Blind. So then I ask, what's the story that you tell about CCB when you're out in the community? What's the story that you tell about your organization within one and two sentences when you're sitting around that advocacy table, representing this fantastic group of people and even those that aren't here today? What's your story? The thing that really catches me is the excitement. And I'm going to pick again more on Sarah and Lisa, because when I sat with them, they were so excited about this organization, where you've been and where you're going. And I wonder, how do we easily convey that excitement when we're meeting folks? Are you able to share that and be like, you know what, CCB is important because, and fill in that blank. And what is that blank? Is it ready to go? Do you know what you want to say about the organization that you've been in for many, many years that you serve alongside? Or is it just another acronym? Is it just another acronym in the alphabet soup? Now, I know that's not true because I can see, as I look out on the room, the different stories, and I can feel the energy and the buzz as I walk through the halls here today and how connected you all are. You do have a story, and you have a great story to tell. You have a rich history. I'm impressed how long you've been here. Yeah, we may be getting a little bit old, but it's a phoenix reviving, right? That's pretty amazing. But you are the ambassadors for your organization. And I challenge you to not only share your needs as you're out there working within the community, but also your successes. Remember to talk about that. Hey, did I tell you what CCB just did? Did you hear about the new grant that we're working toward? These are really intriguing kinds of conversations for people, aren't they? They want to know what's going on in your world and your life. You just got to fill in that information, right? What's the story that you tell about the California Council of the Blind? I'm going to take a moment here. Who here has been a CCB member for 5 years or less? Make some noise. Yay! Okay. Make some noise one more time and raise your hands now so I can also see you, because I have this thing where I'm visually dependent. Woohoo! Can we give it a round of applause yes. for our five or under members? You know who you are, right? You're the next generation of leaders. That's right. Okay, who's been here 5 to 10 years with CCB? Make some noise. All right. Wow, 5 to 10. Okay, 10 to 20. Make some noise. Hey. All right, there it is. 20 plus?
Yay.
I'm afraid to go any further. I don't want to age anyone in the room unnecessarily. I won't go up further, but 20 plus. Wow, do that again. 20 plus, let's hear you.
Hey,
this is where we come from. This is where you come from, right? These are your roots. These are the people who have gone through the fire, who are ready to help this organization to be reborn by those of you five and under, right? Those of you that have less than 5 years here, guess what? You're going to learn from them, right? You're going to learn from them. There's this quote that I love to use, and I'm going to read it off for you now. It says, in organizations, real power and energy is generated through relationships. The patterns of relationships and the capacities to form them are more important than tasks, functions, roles, and positions. Yeah, I know. Can I get an amen?
Right? Yay! Sorry.
The pattern of relationships and the capacities to form them are more important than tasks, functions, roles, and positions. And that comes from Margaret Wheatley. And I just love that because that brings to mind the simplicity. We're working with people. It doesn't matter what role you have within this organization, you're important. Yeah. What story do you tell about your role in the California Council of the Blind? So when I was younger, I was a sign language interpreter. And I got involved in the field of deafness. And can I tell you how many times I get asked if I know Braille? Do you get, how often are you asked, do you know sign language? Is that pretty often? Yeah, it's funny. It's really funny. But no, I do not know Braille. Hats off to those of you who do. That's pretty impressive reading there. And I actually, where's my friend I was sitting with at lunch today? I love his statistic he gave me. He said, yeah, 10%. Of people who are blind may know Braille, but 90% of those who are employed know Braille. Ooh. Yeah. Wow. It's a great stat. I think it has a lot of meaning there. Anyway, neither here nor there. Let me tell you a story. When I was a young interpreter, I really wasn't even an interpreter yet. I was working as a receptionist at the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Service Center, where I was struggling every day trying to learn to sign with the people who were deaf. And there was this organization called the Central California Registry of Interpreters for the Deaf, CCRID. I'm going to try not to say it super fast, but I've been volunteering with this organization for many years now, and it kind of comes out like Cicerone. I apologize. So the Registry of Interpreters for the Deaf, they put together professional education opportunities for the interpreting community to help improve their education but also keep their credentials. And the leadership team there, to me as a new young signer, were the cream of the crop, the elite, the old-timers, the people who had been there, and oh my goodness, they wowed my socks off. You know that kind that I'm talking about, right? And so as I was working as a receptionist, of course, I also got to know some of the members of that leadership team, and one of them was the publications chair. And she said, you know, I'm moving out of state. Would you be able to take over this chair for me? And I said, no. No way. I'm not even an interpreter yet. And do you see how important those people are that are on that leadership team? That's not me. Nope. She came back the next week, and she said, really, I've got to move out of state, and we need someone. Can you fill in? Can you just do one newsletter? Just one newsletter, maybe a couple flyers, and then we'll find someone else. And I said, oh, okay, I can do that, right?
That's the trick.
That's the trick Judy does. So I get to my meeting, and you know what happened? By the end of the meeting, I was the chair of that committee. Looking around at the people that I admired, the people that it made me nervous to talk to because they were so big and important, and thinking, I don't belong here. I don't belong here. And that's what it can feel like when you're new or younger in an organization. I don't belong here. I need to figure out what my place is before I step forward and lead. That's not the case. You can start leadership at any point within your organization. Those of you that are less than 5 years here, start thinking about those skills that you have. Start thinking about the story that you have in your mind about your capacity to be a leader, right? What is that story? Is that story saying, no way, you all are too important? No way, I'm just me, I don't know what I can do? Or can you shift that story? I have skills. I have gifts to share. Maybe they can be of use. I think the answer is yes there, don't you?
Absolutely.
Now, after a while, of course, they became one of the seasoned leaders on that CCRID, the California, oh my goodness, Central California Registry of Interpreters for the Deaf. I became one of those ones, and I could see the look in our interns or students' eyes when they came to our leadership meetings looking fearful, but there. They were there. And I could also see what happened when they would bring up an idea and someone would say, oh, we've tried that before, that doesn't work. Do you think they gave another idea after that? No. And, you know, as a person who's been in an organization, you have seen it, haven't you? You know what those failures and pitfalls have been. And that is one of the hardest things, to bite your tongue when you want to first thing is say, now we've been there, we've done that, it don't work. My challenge to you, those of you seasoned leaders, bite your tongue just for a moment and go, oh, yeah? Tell me more about this idea. Tell me more about this idea. And really engage that newcomer with that spirit of inquiry. You may help them find out why it's a bad idea, or they may help you find out why it might be different if we try something new this time. It might be different if we try something new this time. So those of you that are seasoned within this organization, my challenge to you is write a new story about what it means to be a leader, or what it means that the next generation is stepping up. I've heard that before in organizations. This next generation, they're just not stepping up. They're just not stepping up. I've said it myself. I'll be honest. I'm guilty of that. When you hear that in your voice, they're just not stepping up, the next question needs to be, why? Why? As an ADA coordinator, what I do now is I look for the barriers and how do we remove them so that we can move forward, right? And that's the same thing as someone who is getting ready to no longer lead, because leadership is tiring, right? Leadership can get tiring after time, but it's worth it. So as you're looking towards who's going to replace me, how do I remove those barriers so I can get that fresh blood in here? I get those new voices around the table. What's the story that you tell about your leadership at California Council of the Blind. Now, Judy, do I have a little more time here?
You do.
Oh, good, because I have another story. I do. So I recently met with a young student, and she had been referred to me by a friend who worked at one of the colleges, and I sat down across the coffee table from her and said, well, what's going on? She said, well, I want to be an advocate. I want to be an advocate. How do I do this? What major should I be in to be an advocate? And I went, oh, boy. Is there an advocacy major? Can I major in advocacy? I don't know. Maybe there is. I haven't seen it locally. So we got through this. We had a long conversation about what she wanted to do, where she wanted to go, how she wanted to be a support person. And we talked about how to be safe, right? How to be a voice that someone is safe confiding in and being that person who says, well, let me hear your ideas. We might not be able to do them all, but let's try and see if we can make that a reality. Months passed by. We had that coffee. I just emailed her again, and I said, hey, how's it going? How's your advocacy coming along? And she wrote back to me. She said, you know, after we talked, I realized that I don't need to look for a specific job, that I can be an advocate in whatever circle I'm in. I can be an advocate in whatever circle I'm in. And so that's something to think about, isn't it? Are we being advocates in all of the circles? Not just the disability circle, not just the disability community where we share thoughts around the table, but what about other communities? Communities where you might find sponsors, right? Are you being an advocate in those circles? Are people understanding that? And I know the challenge of being an advocate. It's tiring, and there are times when you need to step away from that. I give you my blessing, not that you need it. Step away and don't always be an advocate. But think about where you can be an advocate that you haven't been before, if you have that time and that energy. Tell the story of California Council of the Blind, because you have a rich story. Now, I'm going to ask for something from you, and I'll repeat back what you say. So what are some words that come to mind when you think of California Council of the Blind? Wisdom. Democracy. I heard something in the back. Strength. What else?
Compassion.
Capacity? Tenacity. Ooh, I like that one. You are a tenacious organization. What else? Social action. Good. I had to raise my fist on that one.
Sense of humor.
Sense of humor. Yes, thank goodness.
Willing to learn new things.
Family. Yeah. Resilience.
Access.
Detail-oriented. Acceptance.
Darn good looking! Yes!
Woo! I am the luckiest girl here today. You know that. Woo! What else? California Council of the Blind.
Having a guide dog.
Having a guide dog, right? These are all part of your story. And all these words may not fit for you as an individual, but I'm betting that many of them do. And pick those strong words, those words that you're passionate about, that make you want to shout out, yeah, we're good looking. And you should listen to us talk about access, right? Build your story to be something that people respond to. And think about, what am I saying? Is it something that's going to engage more conversation and get someone to ask questions? Or will it just be another acronym? What is the story that you tell about California Council of the Blind? Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Shannon. I love it. What story are you going to tell about CCB? I love it. I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, I am really honored to present one of our sponsors' representatives today. Vanda Pharmaceuticals has been a loyal sponsor of the American Council of the Blind for years, has sponsored this organization in the past, and especially in the last 3 years, where they have been increasingly generous each year. And we thank them for that. And here to represent them today is Leslie McNeil, who's the Regional Sales Director for California. Leslie, we finally have you on the agenda in the right place, so thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. We are honored to be here, and we believe in the ACB, so thanks for letting us be part of your convention. I'm here with my coworker Jamal, and please make sure you visit our table next door. We have these audiobooks for free. Just take them home with you. And if you feel that you want to know a little bit more about Non-24, or maybe you know somebody that has had concerns about their crazy sleep patterns, and maybe you want to share some information with them, be an advocate. Be an advocate for each other, and be an advocate for yourself. Knowledge is power.
Yes.
Right? The more we know, the more we're going to be in a better place to make decisions for our own health care. So it's really important, folks. Please stop by the table. Make sure you understand what Non-24 is. It's actually abbreviated. It's Non-24 Circadian Sleep-Wake Disorder. That's a mouthful, so we just short form it to Non-24. How many of you heard the commercials on TV before?
Yes.
Yay! That wasn't everybody that put their hand up, though. That was just maybe a quarter of the room here. On the radio, yes, we're trying to get the word out. I'm a nurse with Vanda, and my role really is to help with changing that, increasing awareness. So I really, really feel it's important. If you don't know anything about it, please stop by our table so we can share some information. It's all free, and it's priceless. Information is easy, right?
Absolutely.
Did you all know you have a clock in your body? Did you? So some folks that have been diagnosed with Non-24 by their provider, they experience times where they're upside down in their sleep patterns. They have times when they have challenges falling asleep, challenges staying asleep, and find themselves sleeping in the daytime quite often. It may not be a big deal to some, but for others, it is a big deal. When they want to be sleeping, when everyone else is sleeping, and they want to be awake when most people they know are awake. It can impact folks' jobs. It can impact your ability to learn if you're in school. It can really be a game changer if you're impacted with Non-24. So please take the time to come visit our table. If you don't know all about Non-24, we'd be more than happy to share this information with you. And once again, thank you so much for letting us be part of your convention. We really enjoy being here.
Thank you. There's nothing like those sponsors who loyally support us year after year, and Vanda is one of the best. Michael Nunez, are you in the room?
I am.
Oh, wonderful. Mike, we have a fair, you have like about 20, you have 25 to 30 minutes to, we have some time. So, Michael Nunez, a blind guy himself, works at a real law firm, which amazes me, because how many blind guys get to work at a real law firm with the pace most law firms have? I so admire Mike for doing that. He is here representing one of an area of interest that he will tell you about that the board is pursuing, and we want to talk to our members and get your feedback. But I do want to thank Mike and the others at the law firm, Kara and Ernest and the others. They are a contributing sponsor. They've given us $1,000 for this convention. And Mike, please take back our thanks to the partners. So it's all yours.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Judy, and CCB convention at large. I'm really excited to be here. I've been at previous CCB conventions in years past, and it's great to be back. Before I jump into some of our current issues that we're working on, I just, for those folks who are in the room who aren't familiar with our work or don't know me, I just wanted to give people a little bit of background. I have been an attorney at Rose and Bean for about a little over 4 years, and I've been working in the area of disability rights work for about 8 years now, and I've worked with CCB for most of that time on different kinds of access issues. I've had the good fortune of working with CCB on a couple of different voting rights cases, both access to voting at poll sites with respect to accessibility and availability of voting machines, and more recently in San Mateo County with respect to access to vote by mail. And we've also worked on other issues, including Airbnb access and access to audio description in movie theaters, which has been really wonderful. So I am here today to talk about some of our kind of more current investigations that we are working on at our firm, and to just encourage folks to find me in the exhibit room later today if they would like to discuss those issues or other issues. I will be here for the rest of the day. Unfortunately, I'm not able to stay for the entire convention, but would be happy to hear from folks in the exhibit hall today. So the first issue I wanted to flag for folks is we recently started looking into the accessibility of self-service checkout touchscreen kiosks at McDonald's in particular and in the restaurant industry at large. So these kiosks are sort of about the size of ATMs, and they are getting rolled out at restaurants across the country, becoming increasingly available. They have large touch screens, and they provide customers with an alternative method for purchasing their food and beverages instead of going to the checkout counter and interacting with a person. Unfortunately, these kiosks don't have any sort of accessibility features that would allow blind customers to use them privately and independently. And it's really interesting, though, because the kiosks do have one feature that indicates that somebody did think at least briefly about accessibility, which is the kiosks have a button on the front face, a tactile button that has a braille label above it that says assistance. And when you push that button, what happens is that a light turns on atop the kiosk, which is presumably intended to summon an employee or grab the attention of an employee there who will come and operate the kiosk for you. But there's an open question about whether that sort of process actually works for people in practice. I myself have pushed the button before and stood there and waited for assistance and none came. And I would be surprised if that wasn't the experience for at least some other folks as well. So these kiosks, as I mentioned, are not accessible, but there are many ways to make kiosks accessible. And in fact, I, in the past, have worked on a kiosk accessibility case, and we reached a successful result back when I was an attorney at Disability Rights Advocates in Berkeley. We had a class action against Redbox, a company that has touchscreen video rental kiosks. And it was a California-wide class action. And through that case, we negotiated a settlement agreement under which Redbox agreed to modify all of its over 4,000 touchscreen video rental kiosks across California to make them independently usable by blind customers. And what they agreed to do in order to accomplish that goal was to install tactile controls on the face of the kiosks and to add text-to-speech audio output that could read out the menu options on the kiosk aloud through headphones that would connect at a headphone jack so that a blind customer could independently navigate the menus on screen using the tactile buttons and make selections using the tactile buttons and complete the entire transaction. And that kind of solution would be an available option for making kiosks at McDonald's and at other restaurants accessible as well. Other possibilities of making kiosks accessible include gesture-based touchscreen screen readers and other different types of control pads. So there are different options out there. Unfortunately, we're seeing not just McDonald's, but many companies across the public market space and across society rolling out kiosks that lack accessibility features, whether it's at shopping malls, whether you're talking at about movie theaters or restaurants. We're seeing more and more of these that have either half-baked or entirely undeveloped accessibility features in them.
Yeah.
And so it's important for the community to tackle this problem, to ensure that kiosks are accessible and that the business community gets the message that they need to be made accessible so that blind people and people with low vision can enjoy the same benefits and exciting new services that are being offered to sighted consumers and sighted people who are moving about the public market space. So that is one issue that we are looking into right now, and I'd be really happy to speak with anybody who has experience with kiosk either at McDonald's or in other retail spaces. I had a discussion about this issue this morning in the transportation panel, and I heard from a number of CCB members present who pointed out that this is a very ubiquitous problem that they're seeing at Olive Garden, they're seeing at Costco, they're seeing at a number of other restaurants, and including in government spaces as well. Someone raised that Social Security Administration has kiosks, and Disability Rights California has an ongoing case about the accessibility of those kiosks as well. So I'd be happy to talk with folks about that. There is a second issue that we are looking into as well, which has to do with the impact that dockless electric scooters are having on pedestrian rights of way in the Bay Area, in particular in the East Bay. And we have started looking into that because we've heard complaints about the scooters being a kind of a pedestrian access barrier to public transportation stops and being a safety hazard for people who are walking down the street just trying to go from point A to point B. We've heard about multiple people who have tripped and fallen and injured themselves as a result of the scooters. So I'd be interested to speak with folks to hear whether what their experiences have been like, particularly folks who are located in the Bay Area and have experience traveling as a pedestrian in the East Bay, Oakland, and surrounding communities. So those are the two big issues that we are working on at this time. And as I mentioned before, I'd be happy to speak with folks about those in the exhibit hall.
Actually, Mike, there's not going to be much room for the time because we are going to have this session go pretty much. But we do have some time right now that
we could
give you some feedback. And I would ask anybody in the room who would like to share with Mike, who maybe didn't share this morning in the CAT meeting, if you'd raise your hand, we can get you a mic. And we have 15 minutes or so to devote to questions and answers and discussion.
That sounds great. And Judy, can I throw out one more?
Oh, of course, Mike. Topic? I just didn't want you to run out of the room before.
Sure. Sure. I'm glad you pointed that out. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying for me.
Go ahead.
So I just wanted to mention that our firm is still monitoring in both the Uber and Lyft service animal settlement cases, and that the terms for those settlements. Goes on for a little bit over a year. So I'd also be interested to hear feedback from folks about their experiences, particularly folks who travel on Uber or Lyft with service animals, about how their experiences are going in with respect to being able to get rides without drivers, you know, refusing to take them because of their service animals. So I just want to put that last issue out there before folks start providing feedback and asking questions.
Mike, how is it appropriate to give a way for people to reach you if they don't, you know, sometimes people tell us, but would you feel comfortable letting people know how they could reach you if they want to get in touch?
Definitely. So you can reach me via my office email address, and that's mnunez@rbgg.com. I'll spell that out phonetically, and that's M as in Michael, N as in November, U as in uniform, N as in November, E as in echo, Z as in Zulu, @rbgg.com. That's R as in Romeo, B as in Bravo, G as in golf, G as in golf, .com.
So that's mnunez@rbgg.com.
Correct.
Okay. So who would like the mic? Do we have any hands? Good.
Great.
Yeah, Mike, I heard you mention the...
Could you say your... We'd like to have you state your name.
Oh, my name is Anthony, and I'm up here from Los Angeles area. And that's... I wanted to mention that just in the last 3 weeks, I have tripped over scooters that are half off and half on the sidewalk.
Oh, wow.
And I was wondering, do you have any referral to people in the Los Angeles area that I can contact concerning this issue?
Yeah.
Actually, I do understand that there is a lawsuit that was filed last October about scooters in the Los Angeles area. I am not sure whether, like, the exact geographic scope of that lawsuit, whether it would cover the particular place that you were at when that happened, but if you send me an email or find me after I'm finished speaking up here later today, I'd be happy to take down your name and contact information and try to place you in touch.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Okay, hi, I'm Kathy Brown, and I appreciate all the work that you're doing in the automated situations in which we find ourselves. However, for the record, I'm going to state that I am an acronym. I am not putting down what you do. Please understand. Okay, I think it's great, because that's the way we're going. But I miss personal service that we used to have in the 70s and 80s. And I used to go, I know, I heard somebody back there. I'll talk to you later. No. anyway, this is why I am an acronym, because I used to go to Weinstock's in Fashion Fair, and they treated me like a queen. Anything I needed or wanted, of course, I had to pay more for it, but I felt appreciated in that store. And now you go to a store like Sears, Sears, for example. They tell you to use the computer yourself because they want to talk to their friends and they're at work. Well, they're supposed to be using the computer because they're the ones that are working there and getting paid to work there. So anyway, be that as it may, I am an acronym, and hope you all like me anyway. But have a nice day, and thank you for letting me say my piece. I appreciate it.
Sure, I take your point. I think a lot of folks are frustrated to see a reduction in the number of actual human employees that are at stores and things like that. Unfortunately, this trend seems to be here to stay and continuing to be moving in the direction of kind of self-service and automated sort of checkout processes of that nature.
Hi, this is Ed Crespin. I'm really concerned about the appliances that are being made now, because everything is menu-driven, and there really needs to be that area of addressing them so that somehow they have to have some kind of audible format where if you're going to push a button for, let's say, the washer, it'll tell you what it is. We have a washer, we marked it and everything, but every time we flip the dial, it flips to a different setting because it's kind of like a random poker roulette game with it, and that has to come to an end.
Thanks for that input. I don't think that we have, that I'm aware of, any cases that have targeted appliances like what you're talking about?
Yes.
Oh. Say that again. Do you know of a case? I'm sorry?
I can't use my
washer. Oh, I mean, I don't know of any legal cases that have challenged the inaccessibility of, no. of home appliances.
You know, the whole home appliance thing, we may just jump over all the problems. I've just bought a new smart washer that the A-lady can run, and I'll let you know if it works.
It's too late for me.
Yeah, I get it, Christy.
I don't have any laundry.
I know. Are there other people with
hands? Hi, my name is Veronica Hernandez. So you had asked about experiences with Lyft and Uber.
Yes.
And I use Lyft, and actually the other day when I was coming here to convention, I have my guide dog with me. And when I opened up the back door to get inside, the driver, who had a very thick accent, asked if the dog was going as well. And I said yes, and he said that Lyft doesn't want him to take dogs. And, of course, I know that not to be true.
That's right. That's not correct.
And so I corrected him. I said, okay, well, you can't take dogs, but you can take service animals, and that's what's going to happen. I let him know that it was the law. But, I mean, it's still something that we're running into, and especially with, you know, unfortunately with people who aren't from this country that work for places like that. So it's still out there. It's still happening.
Did the driver end up taking you, or did he leave?
The driver ended up taking me, and I had to, throughout the duration of the ride, I had to continue to point out how well behaved she was, and like he was extremely nervous about it.
I see.
And so throughout the ride, I was like, see, look, she's laying down, she's behaving herself, and by the end, I think I won him over, but still,
great.
You shouldn't have to go through all of that just to get somewhere. I don't want to have to assure somebody that my service animal isn't going to be an issue. And I think even bigger than that, I have, you know, friends who travel with their pets and stuff, and those Lyft and Uber drivers often let their dogs ride on seats, on their laps, and things like that. And those are not legitimate service animals. And why we run into it with our service animals, obviously, is clearly because we have a disability. And so that's the issue, and it's still happening.
Thanks for giving me that information. You know, I'd encourage you, if you're able to send me an email at mnunez@rbgg.com to share your experience. We're continuing to gather experiences, and we use the experiences that people report to us in our ongoing advocacy with both Lyft and Uber to push for additional changes to further improve access for riders with service animals. Thank you.
I'm John Gassman, and I have
It's an Uber Lyft story that happened to me the other day, and it's happened three or four times. And it literally involved, I got picked up from a grocery store, mm-hmm. and the driver pulled up, and I was pretty sure it was the driver because the car was idling. And I had texted him saying, I'm a blind individual standing in front of a grocery store. I've got a cart full of groceries. I can't see you when you pull up. Please approach. So this car was idling three minutes. And I thought, you know, I bet that's Uber. Mm-hmm. So I walked over, and as it turned out, this individual had no English-speaking abilities. And then you're in a tough situation because not only can I not understand him, he can't understand me. Mm-hmm. And there's no communication. Even if I attempt and realize that he can't speak English, there's no way in the world that I can make him help me when I may need some help, you know, unloading groceries or whatever. And I don't know whether Uber or Lyft, this was Uber's, but it probably could happen to Lyft just as easily. I don't know whether they have stipulations in their contracts, but say the driver has to be able to speak the language. Evidently not, because this driver, you know, took my ride. He should not have taken my ride when he couldn't read my text to begin with. But he did, and I don't know if there's anything. I mean, I'm not looking to sue anybody, but I need to bring it to Uber's attention that this is a real difficulty for not only the driver, but for the individual waiting for a ride to utilize that driver. So I don't know if there's anything that can be done about it, but I'd like to talk to somebody. And talking to Uber is difficult. I mean, they don't make any they don't give you any phone numbers or emails, and there doesn't seem to be a way from within the app to get a hold of somebody.
How many people still have questions? Raise your hand, because we may not be able to take all the questions. Okay, we'll take the two whose hands we see.
Okay.
Can I just make a quick comment in response to that last point?
Of course.
Okay, great. So I just wanted to let you know that we are aware of the language barrier problem as being a uniquely challenging situation for blind riders, not just blind riders with service animals, but blind riders and low vision riders across the board. And we have raised the issue, and we are working on that issue. And beyond that, I can't get into the details of our conversations, unfortunately, but I just wanted to let you know that that's something that has been raised, at least, within the context of our ongoing advocacy efforts.
Okay, this is Artis Bazin. I've had three similar things with those that couldn't speak English, but I also had one with a deaf driver. The driver came to my house, at least I'm assuming he's deaf. He came to my house, and I went out to the car I heard out there, and I went to the car, and I asked him if he was, I can't remember the name anymore, but let's say it was Mike. Are you Mike? And he said, mm-mm. And I said, are you Mike? And he said, mm-mm. And he did that three times, and so I stepped away. I thought, well, I'm not going to get into a car if I don't know if he understands me. So I went back to the curb, and he canceled me and charged me the $5 fee for a no-show. Well, of course, I challenged it, and I got my $5 back. But I did note, you know, and there is an email you can write to complaints@uber.com, which I wrote to, and I write to whenever I have a situation where the, because they only give you a certain number of choices when you get a bad driver. So sometimes I like to follow up with an email directly to the complaint email, although I never get a response, so who knows if they read it or not.
That's no, they're supposed to. Right. That's not good enough. That's not good enough.
No, usually they'll reimburse you. I'm shocked they didn't. Well, they did. Oh, they did. Okay.
I'm Rosemary Chase, and I'm from the Bay Area in Concord. Consequently, I'm in an area where it's pretty affluent, and many of the Uber and Lyft drivers now have Priuses or other cars that are very silent. And if I'm waiting somewhere many times I don't know if they're standing there, if they're pulling up to pick me up or not, and they don't speak to you. And I'm a tech duh, so I don't even do this myself. My kids help me with the Uber. And it's been stated that I'm a person who's blind. And so I just want it to be addressed that the Uber and Lyft drivers need to let the passengers who notify them and let them know we are blind and at least need to be notified that they are present. I would like that to be continue to be addressed. And I'm also in the group where my one of my children has a guide dog, a service animal, mm-hmm. and we were, my son, my daughter, and I were at a restaurant. The kids saw online that the Uber driver was coming, that he pulled in the lot. When he saw the dog, he refused to take the dog, and he actually pulled off. And this happened to us, and so we reordered, and that driver also, he did, as soon as he got toward the lot and saw us, he also left. And my daughter, actually, she's a hang-in gal. And so she did contact Uber, got our money back, and registered the complaint. And according to what they told her, that driver was suspended for that period of time. So there is a way to get to Uber, but I don't understand it. And but hang in. Is my encouragement to you guys, and do keep getting to Uber, because they've got to know what we're thinking and what the problems are. And I really appreciate what an office like yours is doing, Michael, to assist in these situations. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just wanted to mention, with respect to contacting Uber and or Lyft regarding service animal issues, at least, there are, for Lyft, two different pathways. There's a phone number that you can use. It's listed on their service animal help webpage. And on that same webpage is a link to a service animal discrimination complaint web form that can be filled out and submitted to report a complaint about service animal discrimination. And Uber also has a complaint form on its website, and that is accessible through the Uber app as well.
Okay. Mike, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Judy. Thanks,
everyone.
And once
again, please thank the partners for being our sponsors. You know, you, I think a lot of you just heard my phone. The president didn't turn off her phone. We have got somebody who calls the CCB office all the time and says, is the CCB office going to be open next Wednesday? Is the CCB office going to be open on Memorial Day? He called me yesterday, and I actually was stupid enough to answer, and he said, is the CCB office open today? And that was just him, I'm sure, calling to ask if the CCB office is open.
Nicole is open.
Oh, and Nicole gets calls from this guy.
I won't tell you what I said.
Oh, dear. I just want to make a formal statement so that it is here that we do thank Cruise Automation for their generous sustainer level at $3,000. And that we thank Mr. Greenwich for being here this morning, and we're sorry that he had to leave before we could have him on the agenda for this afternoon. And so, you know, we did try, but we were just didn't catch up with him before he had to leave this afternoon. So, again, we so appreciate their support, and we understand that there was a lively session this morning during the CAT meeting, and we'll be, you know, following up with them. We're applying for status to be able to present comments, although they might, you know, present comments to the Public Utilities Commission. Apparently, you have to actually be sort of vetted and you sign up, go fill out a bunch of papers to be able to do that. Now, we just recently did a formal. They wanted. I'm sorry. They were going to. There was a glitch so that Cruise Automations were allowed to take passengers, but they couldn't take food or goods in their vehicles. And so they were asking for letters of support for that rule, you know, advice for that rulemaking, and which they were asking for. I'm botching this. But we did submit on behalf of the CCB a letter in support of Cruise Automations for that request. So we're really working very hard with that, with them, to make sure that we in fact are at the table when these accessibility issues are discussed. Gabe, are we ready for the next part of our program yet? No, he didn't. He should be in the room.
He left early to get to the basketball game.
Gabe's setting it up right now.
Ah, so I don't want to say anything too much, but is a certain Eric Skivers in the room? Could you make your way up here, Eric? Gabe, do we have liftoff?
Give us just a couple of seconds here, Judy.
Just a couple of seconds.
Come on up and sit next
okay.
to me.
Okay, sure will. Sure will. All right, Judy. Kathy. How are we setting
up? You
want me to? All right.
Not just yet.
Okay. Live link.
Okay. All right, Judy, you should be good to go.
Do I hear a voice I know? Kathy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey! We are starting officially the celebration of our 85th birthday party. Now, the convention, of course, started, but this is the party. So in order to start the party, we are talking with one of our founders of ACB and one of the original members of president of CCB, Catherine Skivers, and we're so thrilled to have you on the phone. And Kathy's going to talk with us, but Kathy just celebrated her 94th birthday on May 2nd. And we'll probably have a little song about that later. Also in the room with us today, and I'm not going to let him speak just yet, but is Kathy's son, Eric Skivers, whom many of us know. And we're thrilled to have Eric with us. If Kathy can't be here in person, Eric's a wonderful representative.
I can barely hear her.
Can you? You can't hear me?
I can barely hear you at all. I heard you say, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Money here. And I turned off Alexa, so she can't tell me anything either.
So, Kathy, we would love to give you a minute to or five or to just tell us how you are and what's going on with you and like that, so everybody in the room here can hear you.
Alexa, tune in. ACB Radio Live. Alexa, stop. I wanted to turn it back on so that I could hear you and I could talk to you.
Can you hear us now?
No, 1 second, please. Alexa, tune in. ACB Radio.
Don't do that, Kathy. Okay. Try to listen to us on.
Alexa, stop. No, go ahead. I'll try to hear you.
Okay. So would you tell us how you're doing and just give us a little update on what's happening with you?
What do you want me to do?
Give us an update on how you're doing, Kathy.
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. Things are different, though, at 94 than they are at 49. I noticed quite a few differences. For instance, I just had a visit from the shower lady. I used to never know any shower ladies. I took showers all by myself. But things have changed. My health could be better, but I have said that I'm going to live so long, I'll run out of things to get. But I was wrong about that. No matter how old you are, like Elmer Chapman, 6 weeks younger than I am, says, and I do, we don't know what's going to happen next, but boy, you can bet it will. And Jill McGinnis, God rest her soul, said, getting old ain't fun, and she sure was it. She said, wasn't persisting. And she sure wasn't kidding it, sure not. But generally speaking, I'm doing very well, thanks to my children and my good friends and everybody that helps me.
Okay. Well, Kathy, we're going to talk with some people in the room who are going to send you messages, and we certainly hope you'll be able to hear them. If not, later it'll all be archived. But I want to begin by turning the mic over for a few minutes to Eric, who has been kind enough to come all this way to be with us at this convention. Eric, sure. Welcome and thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to say a couple of things. The first thing I wanted to say is how thrilled I am to be here. It's been probably 10 to 11 years since I've been to a convention. When I walked up here, I saw the tables. I thought I was in the wrong place. I saw the tables and set up the way they were, and I thought, well, that can't be where the session is. Where's the chairs lined up? But I'm just thrilled to be here and to see people that I haven't seen in a long time, and to see that the organization is still vibrant and here, and there's still people that are still doing the work. And that's the first thing I wanted to say. Oh, and also, I'll be here until Sunday morning. If anybody would want to, come talk to me, find me, get a message to Mom. I have my iPhone. We can do a voice message if you'd like to do that. The other thing I wanted to do is just to thank Judy and the board and everybody in the organization for giving Mom this honor at this time. I may be biased, but I don't think anybody that knows her would disagree that she richly deserves it. And she, And she'd never say that. So that's another reason I need to do it. But I love her very much. She knows how much I love her. And it's just so great to be back here and to get a reminder of where I come from. I've been coming to these conventions since I was a very young man. I'm 58 now. 58. Yeah. But since I was in my 20s, I've been coming to conventions. So just thank you, everybody. And I'm just thrilled to be here. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Eric, have we got you a table in the exhibit room? Because if you wanted to wander around with your little phone, and then people could give you messages, so find you, and you could record messages and play them for your mom.
Sure.
Yeah, great. But we have lots of messages from the room, and we're going to begin with one from Jeff, and then one from Christy, and then we'll open it up to the floor.
Hey, Kathy. So how many out there have never had the privilege of meeting Kathy Skivers? Any of you? See, there's a few. Well, for you especially, I'm going to tell you just a few things about her. She was, is, and always will be a force of nature. Now, I've always heard that you get ornery when you get old. That wasn't true of Kathy. She's always been ornery. But she was and is the most committed organization to the California Council of the Blind I've ever met. There's a rumor, I guess it's false, that she was there in 1934. But if she did miss that, that was probably the only meeting she ever missed in terms of the founding of CCB, because she's been around forever, as far as I know anyway. The thing about Kathy is that she cares about us as an organization and equally she cares about us as members. Kathy's sons will tell you what a wonderful mom she is, but her family is not just her kids, but is the hundreds and really thousands of us over the years that she has allowed to be part of her extended CCB family. Thank you, Kathy, for all that you do.
Hey. And if someone could get a mic to Chrissy.
I'm sorry,
Kathy, I stepped on you.
I heard that and I said thank you.
We're going to make Eric run the mics.
Yeah.
Hi, Mom.
Oops.
Hi, Kathy. I'm not sure if you can hear, but you will when you get the recording. I've known Kathy for a long time. I was extremely excited when we voted Kathy in as president. And she ran a tight ship. And she is a great organizer. One thing that I have the opportunity of doing was to get to know Kathy really well through the Ellen Murphy Trust, since I became a trustee after the death of Pat LaFrance Wolf. So Kathy and I spend a lot of time on the phone with Abby. And in that time, you get to know someone. I've been privileged to witness and honor the young woman that I still see in Kathy, the little girl that I still see in Kathy, the fun, the serious, the happy and the sad. I want to tell you, Kathy, that you have helped me to grow in the blindness movement, but also as a woman and as a person just because of who you are. I can't even begin to tell you how honored and proud I am to serve with you and to be your friend. Thank you.
Did you hear that, Kathy? She did. Good.
Judy?
Yes.
I didn't tell everybody that Eric is there, but by now, knowing Eric, you may all know he's there.
Oh, he talked with us, and he will again. Okay, who in the room would like to say something to Kathy? Do we have hands?
Me so that I will hear it again and I'll be able to hear it better, but I will have it.
Wonderful.
Hi. My name is Nancy Unger, and I want to thank Christy, of course, and Kathy. The Ellen Murphy Fund has helped me twice, and Kathy has encouraged me to advocate for myself because I've been very fearful of that. And I appreciate you very, very much, Kathy, and have a wonderful, wonderful life, the rest of your life, and a wonderful birthday. Thank you very kindly.
Nice to hear you, Nancy. I wish I was there.
We do too.
Hi, Kathy. I'm Mike Keithley from the BC, and we're still looking forward to history articles that you started. I hope that someday you and Roger can make it all work. And keep it up. Thank you.
Don't let her off the hook, Jeff says.
Hi, Kathy. This is Katherine Johnson from Colorado. I came when you were president, and you welcomed me so much to CCB that I joined and have been a member faithfully ever since. I appreciate your friendship, and I appreciate being part of CCB and being welcomed as a member at large. Thank you so much, and have a happy birthday. It's so good to talk with you today.
Yes.
What a nice thing.
This is Gabe Griffith, and since I've got a mic in my hand, I'm not sure who else was in line, but I'm going to jump in. And I remember Kathy from years ago when I first came into this organization and decided to run for the board. And through all of that, Kathy was one of the people that really helped, as we were hearing earlier about mentors and fleshing out ideas from newer people. Kathy was one of those that really helped to bring me along. So I just want to take this chance to say thank you so much, Kathy, for helping to do that and helping to make this organization so great. And it's a wonderful organization that we all love and we'll hope will be around for another 85 years.
Steve?
Judy, are you there?
We're here. We're just passing the mic.
Everyone, I can't hear you. I don't know. You'll pardon me if I say I can't see you.
Hi, Kathy. This is Gene Lozano. I can remember my first convention of April of 1972. You were one of the reasons that I joined the organization then. You and Casey DeLint both told me, don't rush in. You know, you make certain this is the right organization, and you both made me feel so welcome. And for years and years, you've done that, and you've always been a person that could always turn to. And I also remember on the light side, the wonderful parties you used to host at the conventions here and at ACB. And I wish you were able to, circumstances would allow you to be able to come back and participate, but we know you're there in spirit and look forward to talking to you. Thank you for everything.
Thank you very much, Dean.
Somebody's, yes? We're coming.
Hello, I've known, this is Steve Fort, longtime resident of Alameda, now living in Portland, Oregon, that I'd been a member of Bayview Chapter CCB for 30 some years, and I met Kathy when I was the vendor at Oakland City Hall, and Ida Johnson was working for me, and she introduced me to Kathy, and we met at a place called the Maya, a Mexican restaurant in Oakland, and got to know one another. And when Bayview Chapter was going through some changes, she talked me into running for president. It took 2 hours to do it because I kept saying, I've never been president of any organization. I don't know what to do. But she helped guide me and gave me praise when I deserved it and criticism when I deserved that, and really helped me to develop more as a person and be active in CCB. So Anyway, thank you, Kathy, and I'm so glad we're all still here.
Thank you, Steve.
Glad you could make it, Steve. Wish I could.
Is that it? I thought, what about my Steve? What about Steve Nevis?
Judy, I believe that Bayview has 11 members there this time.
We have a number.
You and Steve.
Yes, I think there are certainly. I've seen Maureen and Mike and Maria and lots of. Bayview is well representative and well represented. And that chapter has a lot of active members who certainly know that you're still one of the pillars of that affiliate, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. I think you know my voice. This is Bob Acosta. And it's been a great privilege knowing you over these many years. Through good years and bad years, we all survived. I'm going to be brief for once, and that's really something for me. I want to thank you for your great life as the champion of the blind of this country. Thank you so much.
Hey. Kathy, we haven't given you much of a chance. Do you what else would you like to say to us?
I think that you all know that I wish I could be there. I hope that all of you who are there will realize that we've done an awful lot in the past years, but we can't be done yet because we are now in jeopardy, I think, on many fronts. We need to watch out for Braille. We need to watch out for the things that we've got that they are gradually trying to take away. And I won't make any political comments, but the country, the state the country is in, we better look out for everything we've got. Anybody that thinks that blind people don't, they don't have to put Braille in a tower because blind people aren't going to visit it anyway, hasn't been mountain climbing with us. We
right.
A lot of people don't expect. There's still a lot to be done. You're down there deliberating, and you're kind of lucky that I'm not there, because if I was there, I would talk and talk, and you'd be there for a day more than we signed up for in the hotel. But I appreciate the kind things you all said, and I'm not going to be here to... but I have said to the board when I was president, and I say to you now and then, and I'll say it today, I'm more likely to see Dr. Perry than you all will. And I don't know what I'll say, but if you don't do well, he'll say to me, what the hell were you doing? And I don't know how to explain all that. Let me tell you this. I have had a lot of honors you've given me. You brought my way into the hall. You put me in your Hall of Fame, but you bought me a life membership in ACB, and I had the very great honor of, on the 29th of November, the Lighthouse for the Blind in San Francisco established a Dr. Newell Perry Award, and I thought that was so wonderful. I thought for years somebody should do that, and all of a sudden I found out that I was their first winner. And I felt so proud of that. So now I don't feel so bad about seeing Dr. Unless he says to me, how in the world did they choose you? But I don't think he will, because he talked to me and he told me he didn't raise me. But if I ever get the chance, would I work to keep the organization together and have them go forward? And I've tried to do that. I thank God for my kids and my children. There's nobody that's got boys like my boys. I don't, you know, I'm not prejudiced. It's the truth. And I'm so proud of them. They've done so well. And the way we are about each other, I wish every family could have it, because we have a closeness that really is great. But I hope you'll all work together and think about what you're doing this weekend. Have fun. We always did. But make sure that you think about everything you're doing and know that we have got to see an organization that can go forward and do things for people, and they've got to have the membership behind them as they always have. So you do what you can to do the best you can. And I thank you so much for giving some of your convention time to me. Jeff was right. I do love my children, and I do love you all, and you all kind of are my family. And those of you who don't want to claim me don't have to, but I claim all of you anyway. So thank you so much for all of this. Eric's going to record it, has recorded it for me, I hope. And I had a present for my birthday. Roger Peterson and Bernice Kandarian made me a dollar a year person. They gave me a very beautiful little purse from India, and in it they had 94 $1 bills, so I figure that makes me a dollar a year in. So
well,
good luck to you all. I love you all, and keep the organization to figure out the right thing to do and do it. And think about what you want to do. Just don't do it because somebody thinks you should. You do what you think is right. We've always done that, and we've always come out right. And this isn't the first time we had a little financial difficulty. If we had time, I'd tell you what happened when I came in as president, and it's not funny. But we came out of it, and we'll come out of this. And good courage to you all, and thank you so much for thinking of me.
Thanks. And ladies, in honor of that 94th birthday that just passed, I think we have a little song to sing, right? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kathy. Happy birthday to you. Hey! Thank you so much. This will end this part of our celebration. And ladies and gentlemen, this convention is in recess until this evening at 7 p.m. Don't forget the birthday dinner.